commend you for what you've done, and I really want to say to so many of you sitting here this morning that that I believe we all, it's not in secret, I think we've gone through rough times, and I believe the storm is over, but I do believe that God has got greater things. That's just the way the God I serve, that I believe that He's taking us through greater times, but the tough times doesn't last, tough people last, they say. But I want to commend you for hanging in there. You know, so easy sometimes when we go through dry seasons or we're going through tough times to run away or to find green pastures. But there's times like this that we grow stronger. And I mean, you're in the new venue. I know you've been used to this, but it's my first time here, so I really want to commend you. It's such a beautiful place. Philip and everybody that was part of this, all of you guys that made it possible. We are just so excited with you that God is about to do something here that we haven't seen. I know it's not just another feel-good message this morning, but I'm excited to be part of that and the little bit that we can. And as usual, I believe there's something God wanted me to share, but the other day I was walking in the house, and my wife was about to go to leave, to go to town, and she was looking for car keys. She's looking, where's the keys? Where's the keys? Oh. Anyway, she's running in the house. And says, I don't know where your keys are. And anyway, she's going around. And then it was actually just this week. And she said, where's the keys? And then next thing she realized, oh, the keys is in my hand. And she's walking the whole house and entire house trying to find her keys. And then she realized, oh, well, I've got the keys in my hand. I thought about that. So often we go through life and we're looking for the keys. I mean, I got to find that key. If I can only find the key to that. And often that key is in our hand and we don't even realize that. And God needs to open our eyes, literally. I mean, she was holding the key. She didn't even recognize that. Have you ever had that when you have your keys in your pocket? It happens to me actually weekly. Sometimes when you have these ammo, almost, what was it, cargo pants. And you feel, there's nothing here. And then I've gone four times and then it's still here. And then you realize, but the keys, they are there. But you discover that sometimes it's with us, or it's in us, or it's there. It's so close, yet we do not realize that. And I'm talking this morning, I'm sharing on the concept playing safe, because I believe we're not called to play safe. So I'm going to put on my slide there, I can't put question mark. I couldn't put a question mark there. It doesn't allow me to do that. But I actually wanted to put the question mark there next to playing safe. I want to put the question out there, are you playing safe this morning? And I had something in mind, and then I sensed that God's saying, taking me somewhere else, I'm sharing this morning. But before I go there, the other day I met a couple, young couple. They've been around to three different, they're coming from South Africa, and then they've been to another country, and they came here. So they've been in three countries. And young professionals. And they were coming to Swakopmund at that stage just to see if that will be their destiny, if it work out. They've actually been in Windhoek as well, but I can't share too much information because that's not the, I don't want to, maybe you can pick one, add one and one, but I don't think you will know them. Nevertheless, that doesn't matter. But the fact of the matter is they were not content where they were in the previous place. And then they came here, they were not content here. Then they came to Swakop and they tried to find peace and joy and all the things they were looking for in life as a young professional family, and they couldn't find it either there, and they're still doubting whether they should go back to the original place. And I thought for a moment, you know, so often we go around and we try to find joy, peace, happiness, all of those kinds of things, stability, and we change from work, we change from church, we change from some nowadays change trade in their partner. No, I shouldn't say partner, husband or wife. The world out there talks about partners, but they think it's better if I trade him in or her in, then I'll be happy. And we try and find that all in different places, but often it's within ourselves. Often we are at that place where we just have to discover that. If I had to give my 5 cents of advice to them, I would have said, your best life starts now. Sounds like Joel Osteen, eh? that book of him. But it wasn't the prosperity message. I just realized so often we're looking around and God said, man, you've got the keys in your hand. Just use them. Unlock it. Because I think so often God has given us everything. And we're hungry. And God says, no, man, there's the meat. There's the roster. There's the wood. There's the blitz. There's the matches. Sort yourself out. And we, God, I'm hungry. God, help me. No, you just need to make the fire. You just need to grill the meat. And then you just have to eat. But often we want it in our laps, on our plate, ready, done for us. Some of us even want to go a little step further and want it to be cut for us and even to be chewed for us, like they do with the babies, and then put it in our mouths. And now I'm a happy Christian. But life is not like that, and Christianity is not meant to be lived like that, to play safe. God has called us to live courageous lives, lives that we go out there, that we take up the challenge, that we say, God, I'm in for this. I mean, we're small, but I don't look at that way. God, I see a God that's bigger than where we are. I see a God that is much bigger. And that is the kind of God we serve this morning. And I find it appropriate this morning to go back to the Bible where there's an actual chapter. Now, there's a book called God's Generals. I don't know if you ever read that book, Robert Sliardon. It shares about all the mighty men of God in recent last 100 years. And great men of God, that lessons that we can learn from their lives. But I thought to go back to all the mighty men of God in Hebrews 11, which is the chapter of faith. Now, if you read that, and I read it this week, it was just so, it stirred me so much when I read this. And that's why I want to share from this chapter this morning that says, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to read from verse 1. And we're going to read some or try and discover some principles, three principles this morning, or three things I've discovered about the past, the present, and the future this morning. In this chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance. See, my mind is a prayer, Graham, because I know that scripture, but this translation says it's the assurance, not the substance. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received the commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. I'm going to read that scripture again because I want to share something of this. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You see, faith enables us to look at our environment differently. I'm going to say that. Faith enables us this morning to go out there and look at our creation differently. This morning, knowing that, man, this is not just by chance. This is something created. There's somebody, and you know, faith tells me something this morning when I read the scripture. It tells me something about the past. It says to me this morning that God is who He says He is. Faith enables me this morning, or by faith, I'm enabled to place a higher priority on God's word than what I can see. Because if God says, I created, amen. You see, it's so interesting that in the world, we've got a culture, we are programmed to say, we will see and then we will believe. But God says, no, my economy works differently. Don't wait till you see before you believe. You believe first and then you will see. It's so the two opposites. And we constantly have to remind ourselves to go back to that place. You know, we can stand here this morning and say, God, we will believe that you bless this church, that you are people, or when we see it, or when the people come in. No, God says, believe it first. Believe it first that the situation can change it at your house, at your home, at your work this morning. See, going back to the scripture, when we read this faith, or the scripture says that we believe through faith that God created. Now, it's interesting. If we go back to Genesis 1, verse 1, I'm going to read it. It says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God, let's just read it together, and then I'll come back to this. Because this is so interesting. When I saw that the first time, the very first scripture in the Bible, God defeated all other religions with one scripture. He started it off. He says, in the beginning God created. Oh, now I'm memorizing. Let me read this translation. Again. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Simple statement there. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I want to lay a foundation this morning for where we're going with faith. See, if we believe this morning in that scripture, God defied all other religions with that one verse. First of all, he defied atheism, which says there is no God. Because this scripture said, in the beginning, God created. That says to me there's only one God this morning. Apart from that, he also defied polytheism this morning. I know that's a lot of big words this morning. That says there are many gods. It only says to me there's only one God this morning. The others may be gods, but there's only one God. And it's the God that I'm serving this morning. The God that creates. You see, this in the scripture, when I read it, it defies fatalism that says things happen by chance, that you're sitting here by chance, that the way God created this is, or the, all this happened, it just came by chance again. God created. It's not by chance that we're sitting here. I want to say to you, it's not by chance that you are here this morning just listening to this. God planned it this way so that you will be in a relationship with him, that you will be at the place and time and season of this day, that you're listening to this voice and have a relationship with him. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're searching for the truth. It's not by chance you're sitting here this morning. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. When God created, when we read the scripture, it denies or it defies evolution. And man, you need so much faith to believe in evolution, actually. When you believe you come from a fish or a para or a oomph or whatever, really, it takes a lot of faith, first of all, to believe in evolution and also to believe in the fact that there's no God. I mean, you really need to have faith. And he carries on. And when I read that, I also see he denies pantheism, materialism, all of these things. But apart from that, this one scripture also established some key truths to us before we're going into faith or talking about it. First of all, this morning, it says to me when I read the scripture that God exists. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. This is where it all starts for us. In the beginning, God. You see, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that we please as God, or we are pleasing God through the fact that we believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who are diligently seeking. It takes faith to believe that God exists. So God says, I honor you if you start up with that way. That you acknowledge that I exist. Acknowledge me in your life. Acknowledge that I'm involved in the small detail. So often, surprised, mesmerized, call it what you want this morning, that God is so into the small detail in my life. I don't want to share all the, but Philip and we had to share how God came through for them this week. And it's just a small detail, how God would just sometimes just be so involved. See, God wants us to acknowledge his existence in our life. In the beginning, God created, that means God, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. It means God was there before the universe. He was there before the universe. And we're still trying to figure out how old the universe. And we're starting to figure out how it come together. And who made this and which explosion took place. And now we're trying to recreate that apparently. And I think in Switzerland at the moment they're trying to recreate this whole big bang thing. Anyway, but God existed before the universe. And he will continue to exist after this earth is gone. The other day we went to Rundu, and this is just joking. I'm just saying it. Afrikaans say tongue and a kiss, but and you can go to a lot of other places, and it's just so much rubbish where you drive, and people just mess. If you drive from Swakopmund at the right time of the day when the sun is just rising, it looks like a diamond field across the next to the road. The other day we were driving there. I said, God, look at all the diamonds there. Bottles and bottles and bottles broken next to the road. And I said, when we were in Rundu, I said, well, I understand now for one moment why God said he will have to create a new heaven and earth, just in the practical. Because there's such a mess. We as humans have messed so much that God will say, well, if you have to clean up this mess before we start over again, this will take a long time. It's better just to wipe it all away. Let's just start over and we bring it to a perfect place. But that's just my interpretation of that. You see, when I read the scripture, it says to me that God is the main character. In the beginning, God? Is he the main character in your life this morning? Is he the Alpha? Is he the Omega? Is he the center of your life? Is he the focus point of your life? Are your decisions taken around him? Or is it taken around, or is it made around your comfort, your boss, your family, your husband, your wife? Or is it God, you are the one around, my decisions are revolving around that. See, God created in heaven, heavens and earth in the beginning. And that word create means in Hebrew is bara. That means to create. It's beautiful. Something out of nothing. Man, we think humans are great. And I mean, I said the other day to my wife and Philip, I know he's got the same desire. When I'm off and I do something with my hands, it's so therapeutic. It's soothing. I don't know, just I'm relaxing through doing something, through creating something out of nothing. Normally I have something to create something. And I'm not as good as Philip either. But it's just, we as humans, we think we're good. I mean, look at the technology. Look at what they've created. The latest computer, the latest technology. But they all had something, and they had to use that something and the knowledge and all of that to create something. God said, no, I start out of nothing, and then I create something. And I was there before the universe, and I'll be there when it all ends. When the fat, how does the saying go? It's not over till the fat lady sings. But I'll be there. I'll be the last one that morning or that day. Let me put it that way. I don't know if it's going to be the morning. And God said, I'm not dependent upon the universe. The universe is dependent upon me. The other day I was thinking about this, and we were hunting. And the day is running out, and we didn't have anything on the bucket yet. And then I thought for a moment, if I could pray one prayer now, I'll pray that the sun would stand still for a moment, because the sun is going down. And I thought for a moment, I said to Carl, you know, isn't it amazing that Joshua prayed that prayer? He said, sun stand still. And then God, I mean, think about what would happen. I mean, I'm not even a scientist, but that the earth would stop for a moment. I mean, that God stops the universe for that moment. Then you think about the sun, the fact that they didn't die because the sun is now zooming on them, all of that. But he's the creator of the universe. Sometimes I think we belittle God. Sometimes we have such a small picture of the kind of God that we serve. And our problems and our challenges seem so huge and so massive to us. You know, and I have to read this to you because it's just for me, it's just, I can't even, can't just share this with you. I have to make sure I share the detail. You see, God says, and we look at ourselves the way he created us as human beings this morning. You that's sitting here this morning have got 100 million receptors to enjoy God's creation. 100 million receptors. 24,000 fibers that are vibrating while I'm preaching and can hear the sound outside there. You've got a body this morning. Some of you maybe have more muscles. But they say that they have about 500 muscles and 200 bones. And in this body there's 11 kilometers of nerve fibers that are synchronizing at this moment. You have a heart that will beat 36 million times this year. And it will pump 247 liters of blood through 96,000 kilometers. 96,000 kilometers, sorry, of veins. And then David said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If God put so much technology in a body that will one day die and decay, how much more did he put in your spirit, in my spirit, that will be eternal? And we think, God, what kind of God are we serving this morning? It's so much technology in that body. How much value, how much more value is in your spirit this morning that God wants to unlock and say, boom, realize what I've placed inside of you. You are not called just to sit here and just enjoy this and just to have a happy me time. Let my kingdom come. Let my kingdom come for you. Let's carry on. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, and by his faith, though he died, he still. Let me just stand here. I think the light is a little bit better. Now I seem like an old man. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Some of us wish we can go up to heaven that way. We all want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Thank you. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is, here's the verse, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now listen to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Man, I love this. You got to think about this. God comes to Noah. Noah, I'm done with these people. Noah, I can see you're a righteous man. Noah, I can see you love my word. Noah, I can see you are seeking for me. Your heart is after me. But Noah, I've got to start over. Sad news. I'm going to start all over with that. And Noah, I know you haven't heard about this, but there's rain coming. And Noah's, what? God, rain? What's rain? You can read the history. They didn't see rain, or they haven't seen rain up to then. The earth was watered from beneath. So God says, I'm going to rain upon the earth, and there's going to be a lot of water. But Noah, in order for you to survive that, build an ark. Okay, thank you, Lord. And the Lord says, I'm off. I'll see you later. See you. That later was 120 years later. Amen. Have you ever had a word from God? None of us even lived that long. And God speaks to you, and then 120 years later, he's there to see if you've been obedient. Thank God. He's here, involved in our lives. The Holy Spirit is helping us in our weaknesses. Because often we have to go back and say, God, please confirm again. And God, please, can I just have a confirmation again? And God, please just help me again so that I just can carry on. But Noah said, yes, Lord, I've heard you. The fear of the Lord was so much in Noah that he said, Lord, I'll carry on. I don't know what this rain thing means, but Lord, when you said it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And Noah starts building his ark, and you can imagine all the people going past there mocking him, saying to Noah, Noah, what are you doing? What are you building here? They've never seen a boat or something like that, the Titanic in their days. What are you doing, Noah? Ha, ha, ha. Rain. What's that? Ha, ha, ha. And Noah's just, I'm just going to keep on doing that. You see, sometimes faith will ask you to do foolish things. But if God asks you to do that and you've got his word, you've got his backup, then you don't need the approval of people around you. Then we can go out here. We can go into regions and places and towns and suburbs and wherever. And say, God, you said you'll be with us. You promised us in Matthew 28 that you will go with us. So, God, we've got your backup this morning. And it might seem foolish to the world that, like Paul said, I'll become a fool to Christ, but it's fine. I'll become a fool to Christ. Because God, as long as I can just get your approval, as long as I'm just pleasing you, as long if I'm acting in fear of you, God, I'll move out in faith and I'll do that. See, not everybody is moving in faith. I tell you what, and even in my own life, I constantly have to check myself whether I'm operating in faith, whether I'm moving in faith, whether my view, the way I look at God is such a small view, or whether I'm trusting God that you're much bigger than what I'm facing at this moment. God, you are enabling me to overcome. You're enabling me to climb this mountain. Climb this mountain, not fly over the mountain. See, many of us, we want the Christian life where we want to get to the other side. We want the plane or the chopper to pick us up and drop us on the other side, and we have this easy life. But God says, you're going to go over the mountain, but you're going to climb over the mountain. And I'll be with you while you're climbing the mountain so that your faith can be challenged, so that you can learn to be stretched and listen and discover that I'm with you, that I am the God that says I'm in the valleys and also on the mountains. And it's great to say this morning, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe I've got all these dreams. But my question to you this morning, and when I look at Noah, Noah had one thing that distinguished him from the others, or many of them in this actual chapter. He had a corresponding act of faith. Now, it's okay to say to me this morning, man, I believe God that this place will fill up. I believe God that the situation will change there. But what is your corresponding act of faith? And I remember when God spoke to me, when I had that revelation 2 years ago, even though it wasn't my spirit, but it was just so cemented into me. When Baylis Conley shared that thing about Philemon and Onesimus, when Paul writes to them and he says to Philemon, he says to him, and he's in prison, prepare a guest room for me. I'll be there soon. Now he's writing this letter in prison when he doesn't know when he's going to come out. Now I'm asking you this morning, and it's just stuck in my and God spoke to us specifically about something specifically in our lives. But I'm asking you this morning, where are you preparing a guest room? Are you just hoping, God, you will one day come through for that person? Or God, the situation might change. Or God, why are you preparing a guest room this morning? Are there any corresponding act of faith this morning when we move out? You see, when I read James 2, let me just quickly read it to you. It's so, James is known, or this chapter is known for faith and works, but it says it in chapter 2, verse 22. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. What does it say there? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. Isn't that beautiful? Your actions make your faith complete. Not just what we confess with the mouth. Have you discovered in the church we've got a lot of parrots? All they can do is just copy. And we all talk the same language so often. Jesus will change. And oh, brother, don't worry. Jesus will heal you, and you walk away, but you don't even pray for that person. Because you're afraid if the person is not going to get healed, what are you going to say? I know, I've been there. But God didn't call you to heal the person. He called us just to pray and to be obedient. Oh, brother, things will change. The Lord bless you. The Lord will provide. See you later. But we're afraid to go that extra length with that corresponding act of faith and see how God moves in a different way. I thought about this when I looked at Abram. God says to Abram, that's enough now, man. I want to bless you. I want to take you to a new country. Pack up your stuff and leave. And Abram had a meeting with his wife, Sarah, and said, okay, listen, it's time that we leave. Now, Abram had a choice. He could stay there or he could move on. And the Bible says they dwelled in tents. So can you imagine that? Ladies, now I know my wife as well. I love camping. She loves camping a little bit less. So this past holiday, or when we went camping in missions and / holiday, was the longest time we ever camped, and I still have my wife with me. But can you imagine what Sarah probably said to Abram? Oh no, when are we finishing with this camping? When are we done? When are we going to build a house? But anyway, they were moving on because Abram didn't allow to settle in spirit that thing that's just, oh, now it's comfortable. I can just stay under this tree. Man, I love the river that's going past here. We can fish and we can have a few gilfas. What did they? Bass, carp, whatever. You see, I come from the sea, all kabeljau. Anyway, no. They gotta move on, because if you've got a promised land that God has placed in front of you, if God said, "Believe me, that I'll give you a promised land," you can't stay here. You need a corresponding act of faith. You need to pick up your walk from this place to that place. There's a corresponding act of faith, but also inconvenience. That's why not many move at that place, because it's inconvenient outside the boat. I mean, because God, if I put my foot down now, there's a chance that I might be sinking. And God, what's the possibility? I'll be a fool of my... people say, oh, you fool. But at least Peter had the guts to get out of the boat. And we can say a lot about that. And then I thought about Gideon. Gideon, I'm going to use you. Mighty man of God. First of all, the angel comes to him, and he didn't see himself as the way God saw him, and he had to convince him. But then after that, God says, I'm going to use you. He still had to go and pick the people. He still had to get the people together. There was a corresponding act of faith. God didn't just send the army to him, and say, okay, Gideon, we are here. God called us. No, Gideon had to call them together. They need to rely upon God to do as according to God, how God instructed him to sift those people to 300 people. Rahab, the people come to them and say, or they help, she helps the people of Israel. And then they say to her, okay, she says to them, but save me. They tell her the story, and she says, but okay, as long as we can just be saved, as long as it doesn't happen to me, that's fine. We can arrange that for you. There's only one thing you have to do. You have to put that red rope outside your window. It doesn't just come free. there's something. You have to believe that we will save you. You believe that God will save you. Just as an act of faith, as a corresponding act, hang that red ribbon. And it's got a lot of symbolic significance as well. But it was a corresponding act of faith. David, think about that, man. I thought about it this week. Goliath and David, the little boy. And Goliath's day, we had so many David and Goliath stories, and we have children. You do the whole thing over and over again. And Goliath is there mocking God, mocking God's people. And then David appears on the scene, almost a Hollywood hero with his ear. And then David picks up 5 stones? 5? Let me just get the number right. I wasn't certain for the moment. But now I thought about it this week. What was going through his mind at that moment? Obviously, he was very bold at that moment. See, you don't do that. You don't talk about my God. Yay. And the other day, somebody preached at our place. And no, maybe I shouldn't share the story. But now you're anyway going to wonder why I started the story and I didn't. You see, the Bible said that David was mocking the people. And David got so furious, so angry. He said, you can't talk that way about my God. And David had an holy anger that came upon him. He almost said, this guy must, I moet op say, and that's where I'll stop. This is what the guy said. You can't say that about my God. And David picked up the 5 stones, and then he probably thought, you know, I'm going to throw. But guys, I don't know, he probably didn't say that. He thought, well, if it doesn't work, man, we have trouble. It's like throwing the dog, and the dog gets loosed. Then we run. So guys, are you ready? I'm going to try. This is my moment now. I'm going to use this stone, throw it at him, and if it doesn't work, we have a problem. You know, sometimes our faith needs to be taken to that level that God, if you're not coming through right now, we have trouble. Because I believe God sometimes takes us to that verge of that. It's easy to be comfortable and we have a backup plan. And you mean, we'll try this faith thing. We'll try. God said, try this. But it's right around. God, if you don't come through, at least I've got 2-3 other plans at the back here, and I'll not be embarrassed, and it wouldn't be too. But then my faith is not stretched. And I want to say to you this almost in advance, sometimes we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we're probably going to look like a fool. But it's fine. As long as your heart is genuine, turned towards God and say, God, I know sometimes I might look like that one, but God, I want to please you. I want to be a man of faith. And David had to pick up 5 stones and prepare himself. Now, I want to ask you. Give me enough rope. Are you at a place where you allow yourself to positioned by God and said, God, I'm going to pick up my stones. That's my corresponding act of faith. And then, God, I'm going to have it to go at that giant. Or we're just hoping, because that's all it is. If you're not having a corresponding act of faith in any part of your life right now, that's just hope and dreams. That's not faith. But we put our money where our mouths are. And Joshua did the same thing. Joshua had to take the land. God gave him the land. Stand here, then there's less disturbance. God promised him the land. But he still had to go in there and conquer every king. It didn't come to him on a plate. It didn't come to him and say, well, Joshua, I've done that all for you. No, no. They had to march around. We all know the stories. They had to conquer all the kings. They had to go to battle, they had to fear, they had all of those things. Imagine that. We have it so easy nowadays, fighting. I mean, we sit in a room, then we press the button, and the bomb would go, we shoot. I mean, they were facing one another like this. And they probably were outnumbered often. You see, you've all seen that movies, where they go back to that time, and they have movies about that, where the people were thousands. Some translations say they couldn't count them. Now imagine you standing there. My God is with me. God is with me. And you see thousands. And the reality, and somebody says, man, come on, just get real. Come on, this is reality. See the people out front of you. See, reality sometimes can fight against this that's inside of us, that's telling us to rise up above reality. Why is it that we sit in church so often and we haven't got corresponding acts of faith. We've recently been allocated a piece of land, but I tell you, for 4 years we had to fight and say, God, you must, there must be something for us. Now after 4 years, when it happened to us, it's like, okay, I'm still sometimes surprised and in awe of the kind of God we serve. Why is it this morning that we trust God for our friends and the salvation of our friends, and we hope that one day they will just walk through that door or pick up the phone and just say to me, Adrian, I'll use you as example, if you, Adrian, I want to come to church. Maybe sometimes it happened. But most of the times, it doesn't happen like that. Most of the time, you've got to build relationship. You've got to take that first step. You've got to go for the coffee. You've got to set the table. You've got to do the bride thing or the pizza thing or the whatever. You've got to have a corresponding act of faith. You can't trust that God will bring in the harvest. And it's interesting, Philip shared about that. Jesus never instructed us to pray for the harvest. The harvest is ready. He said, "Didn't pray. You don't pray for the harvest." Yeah, have you ever heard how we're praying? And I'm guilty of that as well. We so often find ourselves, God, we pray for the harvest. Let the harvest be ready. Let the hearts be. Because, man, I've already prepared that. Focus your prayers on the people. Us. Just get off your bum. Just go and do something. Just go with that corresponding act of faith. And trust me that I'll make a way. And I tell you, it's hard. It's not easy. I've been there where you have to build relationship. And all of you will know. Some of you have relationships this morning where people do not know Christ, and God says, continue to pursue me, continue to pursue that relationship, and one day it will just happen. But we can't just pray for that, do nothing, and hope God is going to do something. It just doesn't happen like that. There needs to be a corresponding act of faith. And now we can go a little bit further. You see, oh God, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you with my finances. God, I believe that you can change my finances around. And then you have that small voice. And we have the word to confirm that. That says, give to me what belongs to me. Oh, no, 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 God. I can't go there. But God, I trust you. Can I say to you, in all love and respect this morning, you can't say to me, and I'm talking to myself this morning, that you trust God with your finances if you haven't given to God what belongs to him. Tithing, whatever it might be, God is like. We have too many people in church that's got opinions about finances. Other day I know I heard about somebody that say he visited and he doesn't belong to church because the church robs money of people and all these evil stories, I want to say. But we can't confess and say, God, I trust you, my finances, but you can't even trust him once you've paid your tithe. That's where the techie eats the tar. That's where my corresponding act of faith are coming together. It's one thing to say that. It's a different thing to write the check or to press the button on the internet banking. You think, if I press that button, I'm going to be X thousand rands poorer. And God, I do not know how you're going to come through for me. And I always joke about that. But and I'm just standing still in the finances for a moment. But I don't know about you, but I didn't jump up and down when I paid my first tithe. God, I paid my first tithe. God, no, man, it was painful. I just lost that money. Later on, God had to take me through the process of, no, you didn't lose it. Anyway, but I wanted to be obedient to God. I wanted to put him to the test because that's actually the only place in the Bible where he says, test me. So you discover that God is faithful. You discover that God is so much more concerned about you than you are concerned about yourself, actually, because he created you. He loves you. He knows sometimes you are going in the wrong direction and he will stop you from going that direction because he loves you much more than actually you know yourself and love yourself. That's the kind of God we serve. Let's carry on. I want to finish here. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him. And heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city. Listen to this. He was looking forward to the city that it has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Isn't this beautiful? By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand
by the seashore. Let's jump to verse 20. I want to share this. You can read this whole chapter. There's just so much there. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. And by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. I'm going to read verse 20 again. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. You see, faith enables me this morning to rewrite my history. He said, man, I know your life has been a mess, but I can start the story over again this morning. Through the act of Jesus Christ, he says this morning, and all of you that's in a relationship this morning will know and can say to me, amen at this moment, that God can rewrite your history, your story. I think Carl shared the story, but I can probably share this as well. Some of you probably heard this before, but it remains to me such a beautiful story about a man that started to rewrite his own history. Swedish chemist that accidentally published his death in the newspaper. He made Iran bomber, Karen bomber, what's that? Nuclear bombs, that's it. Nuclear bombs. So one day he read the paper accidentally, they had his name in there instead of his brother or somebody similar. And they read, and sometimes they read in these papers, I don't know if you see the back, they often say these wonderful messages about the people. And they say something about this man. He was a great man. He lived and enabled people, or he was a merchant of death, enabled the nations to acquire nuclear weapons. And he thought, God, I don't want to be known for a merchant of death, that I am enabling nations to kill nations and people. I want to rewrite my history. That moment, accidentally, what happened, but he decided, no, I'm not going to do that. And he made millions and millions of money out of that nuclear bombs that he made. He said, I'm going to change that. I'm going to give up the prize, the Nobel Prize, or Alfred Nobel, for peace. And up to the day, they're still doing that yearly, where they're giving out money to the person who advanced or helped. You see, you can rewrite your own history this morning through Christ Jesus. Not in yourself. Through Christ Jesus, He can shape your future, and this is what the scripture says. Not only to rewrite your history, but you can shape the future. Isaac blessed his sons, and he didn't see them living to the fullness. He didn't see the whole thing, but he, through faith, blessed them. He says, this and this and this will happen, and may our God continue to do that in your life. See, we need to think past where we are right now. Our generation and our life will tell us, right now, enjoy, this is your best time now. Just enjoy it. Just work as hard, earn as much money as you can. Enjoy your life here on earth. But God says, think about the future generations. See, what we do right now has got eternal significance. As we sit here this morning, we are building a city with eternal foundations. Let the kingdom of God come. See, we've got a choice this morning. Say, God, I'm going to change my future. I'm gonna live for generations. And God is maybe laying it upon your heart to walk out in faith and start with that ministry or start with that something. And you're probably not going to see the fullness. That's what this whole chapter says. Some of them, they started with that. They planted the seed. And maybe one day when you, and somebody carries you around, and one day they carry you to the graveyard that way. No, that way. Where is it? This way. Okay. They sing a song and they say goodbye. But 50 years after that, people are still coming in for Christ because of one seed. Because one seed of faith. Say, God, I want it to be. Maybe you're part of this church this morning, and this church grows to become bigger and mightier and starting to take on generations. And you are one day an old man, and you're part of the old part of the church. And you just sit at the back, and you've got your little thing that you can't hear. So they've got your thing at the back there, which you can listen to the sermon from the back there because you can't hear properly anymore. And you come in here with your cane, but you think, God, I started. It all started there when I was still young. I was laying down seed. I was planting because I knew there will be a time when I can't do that anymore. And I want to encourage you and I see all of you are young here this morning, and I can include myself. When you're young, you run as fast, you do as much, because there's a time in your life when you cannot do that anymore. Because when nature kicks in, and I'm not saying there's an excuse for us to do not to do anything, but it's just we've got a prime time to do such great things for God, which will affect future generations to come. See, what will your children say one day about you, your grandchildren? Oh, no, he played it safe. He never took a chance. He never tried something. He just wanted to play it safe. As long as everything is just in his bank account, he never took a risk. Everything just, and God didn't call us. He called us to be line crossers, to cross that line and say, God, I'm going to, shock God, this is going to be daring, but now I'm going to do this because you're the kind of God that'll back me. I'm not doing it for my own sake. I'm not doing it to become a great name or great, what, I have fame. It's for your namesake. Think about that, what the church can become if we all have such a mindset. God, we invest in future generations. Lately, we started with our youth. I almost want to say relaunch our youth. And we have a few young men and women there. But not nearly as how we want to. Not even compared to, that's not even a, I don't even say, not even a drop in the ocean what we have there and what we're doing. And we just there to get together and say, God, this needs to become a priority with us. If we want to say in 20 years' time that we have done our part, or we've educated or discipled our youth, we'll have to start thinking about this seriously, differently. And we started coming together. It's amazing how, and I shared this with, or we were saying this morning, it's amazing when you put your heart towards something or your mind towards something, how God will just come through, or coming through suddenly. Suddenly, this person just pops up and say, well, I've got the passion for the youth. While I'm doing these things, we've got a guy that's planning all the camps in Namibia. He's going to all the schools. They're doing all the adventure camps. He's with us in the congregation. Sat this week, had a coffee, and we're planning our first Amplified camp this year at the coast. But it's amazing how it just comes together, because we have to turn our hearts towards God and say, this is going to be, I'm going to see this. I'm going to stick with this. And it might be something else this morning that's on your heart that God is challenging you to walk in faith. But I want to challenge you this morning. Let there be a corresponding act of faith and let it change future generations. Isaiah 60 verse 22, and I believe it's something prophetically this morning that I want to give to you. And maybe for us as a church in the general here in Namibia, that says a little one shall become a thousand and a small one a strong nation. What a beautiful scripture. A little one shall become a thousand and a small one a strong nation. I'm going to end with a story and then we're going to have some prayer. People often ask me for my testimony. I'm not going to share my testimony with you this morning, but I'll just share one small part out of that. They ask me, how did you get into ministry? The other day somebody asked me, tell me, how did you get into ministry? I said, yes, I made the decision along the way, but it started before that. You know where it started? It started with a grandma. And now I have to stay together because she's not here anymore. But she would sit there, and we'd go there for coffee. And obviously, you go to Oma and Opa, all of you that have the privilege of still having them or had them, you spend special time with them. But my grandma was saved, so she knew I had to influence them. I've got a window of opportunity that I have to use. And I was a young boy, and we'd sit there, and she would just impart. Then we should start prophesying over me, although I didn't even know the word prophecy at that stage. I didn't understand all these things. Later on, I only got. And one day she would say, one day you're going to be my pastor. One day you're going to be my pastor. I remember it always. One day, jy gaan ouma se pastoor word. And I said, ach, ouma, don't say that. I just loved God. But there are some of you sitting here this morning. Well, let me tell the story further, sorry. I remember she would pray for my dad. Now, my dad is not saved yet, but she would pray for me earnestly. God, save him. God save him. One day there's a pastor that came to her, sit in the service, and he walks to her. He doesn't know what she's praying for. And he walks towards her and he says to her, that son you're praying for, God says, he's going to come in. Now she passed away. She didn't see him coming in. But I can tell you what, I'm starting to see. God is pulling him. I'm having spiritual conversations with my dad that I never had a few months ago. I can see how God is preparing him. I'm not yet there and I'm, no, God. The Bible says they saw it from a distance. I'm coming closer. There's one prayer that God wouldn't leave unanswered, and there's a prayer of a mother. I believe that God will continue to, that prayer will haunt you this morning. See, our prayers and our acts of faith has got future implications. What if we put that to the test this morning? Say, God, I'm just going to continue praying and trust you for that friend of mine. I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to keep on and trust you that that situation at home will change. Because I know, God, you are the God of families, that you are the God that's enabling, that's restoring, that's changing things this morning. Let's close our eyes this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. Maybe you want to rewrite. Maybe you realize that, God, I need to rewrite my history. I'm in need of you. And God is able this morning to rewrite your history this morning. He's able to change your life completely. Well, nobody's looking around. Before I kind of pray for other things, first of all, I want to give you opportunity. I do not know you, so I am just giving you the opportunity. If you're sitting here this morning and you are not in that place where you have peace in your relationship with Christ, and I'm meaning that you know that when you die today, that you're in right standing with God. While nobody's looking around, I just want you to give me an indication and say, Jakob, pray for me. Pray with me, because I need to make sure this morning that I'm at that place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Nobody's looking around. Some of us this morning, I don't know if you want to say to God, maybe I thought about it. I always want to say, we challenge God and say, God, want to know, I'll know, still, buddy, everybody, head bowed, please. You want to challenge God and say, God, I want to move out in faith. I've got all these words. I've heard a lot. I've got this deposit of this, but I haven't done a lot about that. And God, this morning, I want to move out in faith. I want to start with that. I'm going to trust you till I see that come to pass. There's somebody this morning, God says, God wants to recreate the family situation. It's chaos. And God wants to recreate this morning. There's somebody this morning, nobody looking around, please. You're sitting here with a sickness that's so embarrassing. Or you're just too shy to tell others. And you're not supposed to tell others, I'm not just saying that, but God wants to heal you this morning, just of that. I'm not going to call you to the front to share with us about that. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. And while nobody's looking around, just quickly give me indications. Say, pray with me. I've got that struggle. Say, God, heal me of that this morning. Thank you. There's somebody this morning that wants to stand in your gap for your family. So I sense in my heart. Say, I want to stand in the gap this morning for my family, maybe for a colleague this morning. God, I trust you that you are going to do miracles, that you're going to reconstruct, that you're going to recreate. I almost want to say something out of the nothing. It seems hopeless at this moment, but God, I thank you that I serve the God that's enabling me to see and look at you differently. Know, God, that you still have them on your agenda. Somebody specifically, you're wrestling with God, and God says to you this morning, these words, I have him on my agenda. I don't know for who that is, but I have him on my agenda. And all God asks you just to stand in faith and continue to trust him, continue to pray. Can we have some music here? I'm going to ask the people, if any of those people that I've mentioned this morning, maybe any of those in the beginning that you feel that you need to come to God this morning in right standing with God, to quickly come to the front, and we want to pray with you. If you want to stand in the gap, any of those people are called out prophetically, if you quickly can come to the front and we pray with you. But this is so important that we act obedient here, because our step or our act of obedience this morning or corresponding act of faith is by us acknowledging that and say, God, I'm standing up this morning. I hear you. Equip me this morning. Thank you, Jesus.